This is a new liturgical move here. Because you have a preacher that waves his arms around and doesn't have a wireless mic. And I can't hold the mic, my Bible, and wave my arms around. So something had to go. I guess what I'd say to the children's lesson is to be continued. One of these days, maybe we'll consult each other. But I think God handles it quite well most of the time. As we were listening this morning, I'm hoping you caught the theme in the readings. It's something about a shepherd. You're catching on. Welcome to the fourth Sunday of Easter. It happens every year. I don't know if you noticed. Some people might actually celebrate and let you know that it's like Good Shepherd Sunday. So we're looking at our Good Shepherd today, and so much so that even in our collect, we prayed that we would follow where he leads. That's a pretty strong prayer. I don't know if you're aware of that or not. It's kind of like, you ever heard the song, Here I Am, Lord? Everybody sings it, even Episcopalians. Here I am, Lord, and I'm thinking, you don't see me raising my hand. I did that once, see where it got me. I would say, you start doing that, he hears you. You tell him, here you are, he's going to say, great. And he's going to call. So we're actually praying for that today. That we would follow where he leads. Which should bring to us our first important question. Where is he leading us? The beauty of our first lesson is you now get to hear it twice. Out of this entire reading, out of the Gospel of John, I just have this for you. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Amen? We really don't need to know much more, but I got some time, so we'll go a little deeper. This is what Jesus has done. This is what we are celebrating. This is why he's on the cross, says it is finished. What he was sent to do has been completed, amen? Through his body and blood offered to us, through his death and resurrection, we have gained eternal life with him. That is the fullness of it. We can hear it. We can claim it. We spend this entire season celebrating it. And then yet we sit and wonder. And we talked about it at the early service. And it's this anomaly that happens within our tradition. Many of us know people of other denominations. How many of us have ever been asked the question, are you saved? Now, as good Episcopalians, how many of you thought the normal Episcopal response, do you know what it is? Normal Episcopal response to, are you saved? I hope so. There you are. Y'all nailed it. I hope so. Quick refresher. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. Brothers and sisters, are you saved?
Yes.
Thank you. See, that'll get us a long way down the road. Let's just grab a hold of this reality. I hope so. Now, I laugh. You know why? Because the first time somebody asked me that, you know what I said? I hope so. And they looked very puzzled and walked away. Because I was on the panel to be elected to the vestry, and this person wanted to know if I was saved. And I'm like, I hope so. And he literally walked away from me, thinking, we're in trouble. It probably were. But what happens in this understanding? Well, we hear that we are saved, and we have eternal life. But the majority of us, maybe not all of us, but hopefully all of us, will wake up tomorrow morning, and we're still going to be here. So what does this mean to be saved? What does it mean today? So as soon as we understand this, we have eternal life, It brings us to the next question. What about this life? What are we supposed to be doing here? What do we do now that we're saved? In current, more often than not, our society, Western Christianity, our primary focus is getting to heaven, right? We got to get to the goal. Get to the goal. We don't spend enough time thinking about how do you get from here to there. And sometimes we got to, a little less dramatic maybe. God, I'm preaching with one hand behind my back. But we're here. What do we do? How do we move? How do we accept this reality that we have eternal life and we still live in a fallen, broken world as fallen, broken people? How do we walk this out? How do we do this? And the beauty of our readings today, although we read them to you out of order, I'm going to put it a little bit more in order for you. So we're going to go from the gospel when Jesus is out walking about and teaching. Now we're going to go to the book of Acts. And this is about hearing the good shepherd, hearing his voice and moving when he calls us. We get this story in Joppa, where there's this disciple named Tabitha. We're just going to call her Tabitha, because Dorcas kind of adds a whole other meaning to the whole thing these days. But she was devoted to good works and acts of charity. This was a solid follower of Jesus. Jesus, her good shepherd, was moving in her life, and as a result, there was evidence in her life. How do we know there is evidence? At the time that she died, she became ill and died. They washed her. They laid her out. And they called for Peter. But when Peter got there, they showed him her work. This is what she's done. So her work mattered to other people. They knew who she was. They knew whose she was. And it showed in the way in which she walked and the people were gathered. But she responded to the good shepherd. Good works and acts of charity. And since they were close to where Peter was, they sent two men to him with the request, please come to us without delay. Now, I suspect Peter's life is a lot like the rest of our lives. He probably wasn't just sitting there waiting for someone to come and give him something to do. I suspect when they showed up and said, hey, please come with us immediately. I imagine his first thought was, well, she's already dead. What's the rush? But he's listening differently. They came for him. Please come. Tabitha has died. So Peter got up and went with them. And when he arrived, they took him to the room upstairs. And that's where the widows were all gathered there, weeping and showing tunics and other clothing that she had made while she was with them. And this is where it gets a little strange. Now imagine this. You call the church. We need you to come. Father Brian, Father Don, we need you to come. Father Steve. It's that moment. We show up. Everybody's in the room, already telling stories. And we turn to you and say, go outside. Could you imagine that? Peter shows up. These people are mourning the loss of Tabitha, and his first response to them is, go outside. And they did. Now imagine if I show up at your house for pastoral need and we come in, everybody's hanging around, and I walk in and go, okay, good, go outside. You're going to be like, no, you go outside. That strange things are happening here, but people are being obedient to the moment. You see, they're living in the power of the Spirit. They're moving in the life of the Spirit with the full understanding that we are safe in our salvation. And they are going to trust what's happening with those who they believe are safe in their salvation and listening to the Good Shepherd. He is guiding them and they are trusting. And so they go outside. Then Peter takes it up a notch, turns to the body. Well, he kneels and prays, turns to the body and said, Tabitha, get up. And she did. She got up. Because Peter, when he was approached and said, "Come to us immediately," he did. And when he got there, he did the strangest thing that no one would have expected, and God did what he did. See, just as was happening in this first century, God is still calling the church to say, "Let me shepherd you. You have nothing to be afraid of. You are saved. You are mine. Nothing can take you from me," is what he's telling us. And by the way, I might ask you to do some strange things along the way. Will you follow me? It can be a pretty serious ask, especially to a group of people who are scheduled months ahead of time and have full calendars. I have discovered God is not at all concerned with my schedule. Not at all. I don't care how it goes. But when we move with him, when we truly understand what it means to be shepherded by the Spirit of God, God can do incredible things through us because of him, not because of us. He asks us to show up, and that's where we struggle. All we need to do is show up and trust in God. Listen to what happens next. Probably the most important piece, although Tabitha may disagree. He tells her to get up, and she does. He gave her his hand and helped her up. Then, calling the saints and the widows, he showed her to be alive. This became known throughout Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. See, we get so caught up in getting to heaven, we forget. We're not there yet. There's still work to do. We're not signing on just to receive our eternal salvation. We are getting on the team, brothers and sisters. God is calling us to be available for his use, for his purpose, and for his glory. It could be something as incredible as raising the dead. Do I believe that's possible? I absolutely do. Healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, loving the unlovable, touching the untouchable. All the things in which Jesus did, he wants to continue doing through us. And it's just a question of whether or not we are ready to fully live without the fear of losing our own salvation and live within a fallen, broken world as a fallen, broken vessel used by God in his way and in his time. Why? Well, because it may be heard. The glory of God will be seen. Someone's going to talk about it. I imagine the widows and the others that were there showing off her clothing, they, after this, went, "Hey, we were at Tabitha's the other day, and Peter showed up. She was dead. We had washed her. She was laid out. We called him to come and be with us. And he comes in, throws us out. We're trying to tell him how amazing she is. And he's like, go outside. And then he comes out with her alive. This is incredible. Did you all hear about that? We're still hearing about it today. So they went and they told. It became known throughout Joppa. And many believed in the Lord. See, we need to hear more fully the reality of what it says in Revelation. Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Salvation belongs to our God. He has offered it to us through the body and blood of Jesus Christ. It's for us to accept the fullness of it and to walk in the fullness of it. It's not for us to do. I've told you all 1,000 times, I used to be in sales. Now I'm in marketing. See, you're catching on. What's the difference? A salesman has to close the deal or you don't eat. And this is so much better. I don't have to close the deal. My deal is to tell you all about Jesus in such a way that you get excited enough to go tell somebody else about Jesus, to come into your own understanding of your faith and the glory of God and the presence of the Spirit of God within you, that you go into that world in such a way that other people benefit from the fact that He is using you as His vessel. And then they will give glory to God, and they will come to know the truth of eternal life because of Him working through us. It's seriously the most low-pressure gig going. Just show up. Show up and trust. That's a little harder. But it's still for Him to do. It's His. Salvation is His. He gives it away. It's not our job to gain souls. It is our job to witness to the One who saves souls. Why would any of this matter? Well, let's go all the way back to the beginning. How many people think about their relationship with Jesus Christ as their primary method of getting to the kingdom? I would hope all. Now the question is, how many are going to join in the work through the power of the Holy Spirit so that more will come to know and join in this kingdom? And as we look in Revelation, this portion that we read today, and what he's talking about, backing up to verse 9 in chapter 7, after this I looked, and there was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, from all tribes and peoples and languages, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, robed in white with palm branches in their hands. And they cried out in a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. Multitudes. Jesus is going to show up for multitudes. And there is a pretty good chance somebody's going to see Him in you. Unless we claim the salvation that's been given to us as our own and we hide. And I'm guessing the majority of people now, when I say, are you saved? Your answer is?
Yes.
How many out there need to know what you know? So that this multitude, this vision, this revelation given to John, we can be a part of it. A part of that. When the work is done, brothers and sisters, when the work is done and we are living eternally with our God, we will only have one thing left to do. One thing, and that is to worship Him. Mission trips are over. Witnessing is over. Studying is over. Everything is done but the worship. So what do we do between now, claiming our salvation given to us by God? through the body and blood of Jesus Christ to the moment in which we have nothing else to do but worship Him. Tabitha, Peter, Paul. We can just keep naming them, can't we? Living by the Spirit of God. Knowing that we have already received because God chose to give us our salvation with nothing to fear, nothing can snatch us away from Him. We can just be about His work. And then as he's seeing this vision, John is in the midst of this conversation, and one of the elders addressed me saying, "Who are these robed in white and where have they come from?" I said to him, "Sir, you are the one that knows." Then he said to me, "These are they who have come out of the great ordeal. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." This is us. For this reason, made white in the blood of the Lamb, purified by God Himself through this action through our Savior Jesus Christ. For this reason, they are before the throne of God, and they worship Him day and night within His temple. And the one who is seated on the throne will shelter them. They will hunger no more and thirst no more. The sun will not strike them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and He will guide them to springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. That's the goal. But we're not there yet. We, for whatever reason, have been invited by God, empowered by God, directed by God, and strengthened by God to do all that He has done and more. So, brothers and sisters, there is work to do. Go with great confidence that you are His. No fear. Your salvation has been given to you. But don't settle for just the end game. Do not miss the blessings that come from walking by the Spirit of God today. So let's get to work. Amen.